Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to 2 Peter this morning, the second chapter to start with. And if you remember, we're in a series on the mind, and we're going to continue that. Today might be the last time on this series, we'll see. But we're going to talk to you this morning about something that is real important to us, and that is on washing our mind. How many of you know you have to wash your body? We all good with that? Because if you don't, what happens? You start to stink. You're all alone. How many know your mind can start to stink if you don't keep it washed? Amen. You know, we used to talk about having stinking thinking because you're not keeping your mind washed with the Word. So I want to talk about that this morning. And I want us to begin here in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look with me at verse 6. It says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them, this is what the Lord did, with an overthrow. Notice this, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. How many know the world better wake up, because we got an example of what God does to those that live ungodly, right? And so, how many know they're an example for us, right, today? So we got society today flaunting its nose at God, and you know, he's going to have the last say. He sure will. And if I was you, I think I'd come get born again and repent. But notice it says, and he delivered Lot, just Lot, vexed, the King James says, or oppressed with the filthy conversation or conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed or tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So Lot, he's a righteous man, but he's living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now honestly, when you read the story, he didn't really have to live there. He chose to live there because it was a good place to make some money. But we live in a society today that, have you know, filth is everywhere. You know, we see things today. I remember reading a book way back in the 70s by a guy who said the Lord showed him what was coming on to the country, our country. And I read the book and, you know, it was like, it was pretty fascinating. And this was probably, authored the book, or it came out in 1974, so I probably read it in 1977, 78, somewhere around in there, I read the book. And how many were alive then? Well, I read the book, and I just said that because it doesn't seem like it. How did I get here? How did this many years pass? But they have. But I read the book, and I was fascinated. I wasn't saved. I wasn't a Christian in 1978. I wasn't living for Jesus. I was living a lifestyle of drugs. It was pretty messed up. But I did read this guy's book. It was fascinating. And I gave it to some of my lost friends to read it too. So I was kind of being an evangelist in those days. And they were fascinated by it too, because some of the things the guy had said, you know, they were just remarkable. And then as the years went by, I just went along and like, check, yeah, that came to pass, check, that came to pass, check, that came to pass, check, that came to pass. So I began to realize this guy really heard from the Lord. And he talked about how a flood of filth was coming to the nation. And I don't think we have to wonder if that's coming now. I think we know it's here when it's paraded in front of us. As a matter of fact, if you think normal today, you are labeled a bigot. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning. I'm not trying to be controversial, and I'm not being controversial because there ain't no controversy about it. The Bible says that if we don't have a love for the truth, that it tells us that God will turn us over to a reprobate mind. Amen. And it says God would send strong delusion. People aren't just wrong in their thinking today. They're delusional. When we're supposed to believe a man can have a baby, you are delusional, friend. It ain't never happened. It ain't never, pardon my English, but it ain't never happened and it ain't never gonna happen. And all of us men say, thank you, Jesus, we don't ever want it to happen. We're not strong enough to do that. But I'm just talking about, when we think about the world that Lot lived in, it's not all that far removed from the world that we live in. It's really not. And the Bible says it vexed his soul. It tormented him. And now, the thing about with Lot was Lot could have moved. It's hard for us to get away from it because it's everywhere. And that'll vex you. You know, I know when I first got saved, somehow, I came out, like I said, out of the lifestyle that I lived, got born again, and somehow I knew I needed to leave my friends behind, share the gospel with them, but I got to get some new friends. Because we're not going the same direction. And I did good. One time I made one mistake. I went out with them on the pontoon boat out on the lake, you know, because one of my friends said, oh, there won't be much going on. Come on, you know. They weren't ready to turn loose of me. I don't know why they wanted me for, but they for some reason, and they weren't ready to turn loose of me. And so, you know, I said, okay, well, I'll go, you know, and I went. It was the biggest mistake I had made up to that time in my Christian life. I got on there, and they were all smoking pot, and they were passing around a joint, and then they handed it to me. Here's the good news. I not only didn't inhale, I didn't even hit. And that's the presidential truth, praise the Lord. For those of you old enough to know what I'm talking about. I passed it on. Somebody said, why didn't you throw it in the lake? Because they would have thrown me in a lake. And I'm not that great a swimmer. I dog paddle. So, but once I left that, I realized I can't be in this because this is just too much. This is too much like my old life. This is what I lived in. I got to get out of this. But did you know? Well, Jesus said this. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, he said, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, you and I live in this fallen world. There's no way around that. There's no way. You can't drive down a road without seeing filth. Are you listening now? You can't isolate yourself. You don't want to make yourself available to it, but you can't help but see it. And you have to wash your mind. You got to wash your mind. And I'm going to talk about that this morning because, a lot of people don't realize this, but I heard Dr. Barclay say this one time. He says, the devil's never given up on you. What does that mean? He still thinks he can get you back. But I'm saying he can't. Amen. But he still thinks he can, and he still tries. But what we don't realize is that he you know, when the devil does things, he doesn't just do it overnight. It's just a little bit at a time. Just get you to compromise just a little bit here and a little bit there, and then you wind up, how did I ever get here? Well, you let the devil in the back seat, now he's driving. So you got to watch this compromise. You got, how many of you got to, I learned this after some years of serving God that, you know, I didn't just get my mind renewed and then I was done. I was going to have to keep it renewed. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by it. The renewing of your mind. And what I learned after some time was that is a continual process. Because if I don't keep washing my mind with the Word of God, the world's always trying to influence it. What do you think commercials are for? You know, listen to me. I don't trust anything the world has to say without running it by the Bible or running it by the Lord. Amen. Because, you know, I've got an app on my iPad, and it's a news app, and I don't know how many articles every week there are about what is good for you and what is bad for you. And I'm not here to be offensive. I'm just saying I've figured out they don't know what they're talking to. I better go ask God what I should put in my body and what I shouldn't put in my body and not paying attention to that. Because I told Phyllis, I just saw one yesterday that brushing your teeth will keep you, may help you keep from having, huh? The way you brush your teeth may have something to do whether you have Alzheimer's or not. Anybody believe that? Neither did I. So I just got to thinking about it. After all these years of this, you know, this is good for you. You know, now the pyramid, the food pyramid is one way. Now it's flipped the other way. And it's like, you know what? I'm not paying attention to you guys. I'm going to listen to my body. I'm going to listen to the Lord. Amen. And I'll pay attention to Him because I don't think you know what you're talking about. Well, that went over big. But, you know, I've been at this a long time, and I'm 65 years old now, and, you know, I'm still healthy. Oh, I have challenges, but I, you know what I mean? You can't just listen to the world on anything. And so you have to keep your mind renewed with God's Word. See, Paul said, don't be transformed. Oh, don't fall into the world's mold. Don't fall into their kind of thinking. Well, you do that just by doing nothing. You're going to fall. You get saved and you don't do anything with your mind, you're going to think just like the world thinks. You may be saved, but you're not going to live a victorious Christian life that Christ has for you because you're not going to be able to because your mind's not going to be renewed. See, when we got saved, the Bible said God did not give us the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So Lot, I read this scripture because I want you to see this. Lot, his mind was vexed. His heart was vexed because of what he was living in. Well, I don't know about you. There's things I hear. There's things I see. It vexes me. But I've got to keep it out of my mind by washing my mind. Amen. The morals in the church, in a lot of churches, not this one, but in a lot of churches, are not much different than the world. And if you do say anything about anybody living in sin, they say, you're judging me. Well, you know what? The Bible says, judge all things. Amen. You know what that means when it says, judge not? It means don't be a judgmental person. You know, there's a big difference between me telling you you're living in sin and being a judgmental person. Well, Jesus, thank you for giving me this message. I really wanted the preacher really jumping up and down, see everybody shout message, but yeah. Thank you for helping me out, Lord. Praise the Lord. But we got to keep our minds washed with God's Word. Amen. All right. Amen. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at about three scriptures this morning, maybe four, if we have time. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to talk to you about this, about washing your mind. And everybody has to do this. If you're a believer, you have to wash your mind with the Word. Ephesians chapter 5, because all kinds of, you know, the world's constantly trying to conform you. Even Paul talked about, the great apostle Paul talked about one of his guys that were traveling with him, Demas, said, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened? He didn't keep his mind renewed. He's with the Apostle Paul. I mean, who wouldn't love to have that opportunity to travel with Paul? But yet he didn't keep his mind. And Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. He, having loved this present world, his mind got conformed to the world. There's nothing. There's not anything the world has that's any better than what God has.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's like I said, I didn't give up Pabst. I didn't give up drugs. I got something better. It pales in comparison. Are y'all hearing me? To what God has. See, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, I did that. He's good. Amen. So we have to understand that as believers, we have to keep our minds renewed with God's Word. We have to wash them, just like we have to wash our bodies. We have to wash our minds. Amen. And hopefully you wash your body every now and then. I saw this guy, I think he's passed on now, just recently, but he lived, I forget where he lived at, maybe over in Iran. He had not taken a bath for 50 plus years. I showed Phyllis a picture of him. Remember that guy? Yeah. He hadn't bathed in 50 plus years. His theology was, bathing is bad for you. Nobody lived with him. He lived by himself. Every picture I saw of him, he was alone. You can only imagine. I mean, oh, that's bad doctrine. Amen. And so it's the same thing's true with your mind. You don't just become a Christian and you're on your way to heaven and you don't do anything with your mind. You're going to get a filthy mind, a dirty mind. It's going to give you all kinds of problems. It's dangerous to think wrong. It's dangerous to think wrong. People take their lives because they think wrong. You know what I mean? They kill themselves over stuff that's trivial. I'm just thinking, man, he comes to my mind, I'll leave him a name, about a movie star. It was a comedian, famous comedian, that had some physical problems and went and hung himself. And I'm thinking, if you didn't know Jesus Christ, your problems got magnified a lot worse than what you had. And who's to say that you might, God could have healed you of the physical problems, or even science could have come along and fixed them, or whatever, but it's not worth taking your life over because your thinking's wrong. See, when men think like men are nothing more than just animals, it doesn't matter. But how do you know? We're not. We're created in the image of God, in His likeness, and it does matter, right? All these things that are going, I don't know why I'm off on some of this stuff, but it's coming up this morning. You're just going to have to listen to it or leave. But you know, all this push for assisted suicide, hey, we don't have the right to take anybody's life. Doctors are supposed to bless people. Amen. We never know. People have been healed and delivered at the last minute. You never know what's going to happen. Amen. All right, now, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look what the Bible says here, verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What do you say, women?
Amen.
Let's don't let that go, men. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What do you say, men?
Amen.
You know what the key to that is? There's the key. A good marriage isn't hard. Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. I got a feeling if you love your wife like Christ loves the church, you're not going to have many problems. But notice this, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So Jesus is cleansing us. Notice he's involved in this by the washing us by the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So how many know the word of God is what cleans us up? Jesus said in John's gospel, he said you to his disciples, says, you're clean by the word I've spoken to you. Well, obviously we need cleansing, don't we? We need cleaning. Amen. We don't just, and you don't just, like I said, you don't just one time and it's done. Just like you don't shower. Well, I showered back in, you know, 62. Well, how many know you're going to probably need to do it again? Right, regularly, right? Because why? Because you're going to get diseases and everything else. And then, you know, people don't want to be around you. And all kinds of problems come. And so the same thing's true with our mind. We have to keep our mind washed with God's Word. We have to keep feeding on the Word, keep washing our mind. Because we pick up these contaminants. We pick up this filth out in the world. And it has to be washed off of our mind so we don't start thinking that that's normal. Why are churches today accepting things that the Bible plainly says are an abomination to God? That's not being hateful or anything else. Love, you know what love is? You know what the definition of love in the world today is you accept everything I do, you give me everything I want. How many know every parent ought to know that doesn't work? Your kid wants the keys when they're 12. I drove my first car when I was 11 or 12. It didn't go well. I wasn't ready. And so you know that, right? Some parents may today, I don't think people in this church do. You don't let your children do whatever they want to do. You don't let them eat anything they want to eat. They're going to pick the wrong stuff. So what is true love? True love does what's best for you. Not necessarily what you think is best for you, but what's really best for you. So when God tells us certain things are wrong, He's not being mean about it. He knows how it works. The wages of sin is death. Why do you train your kids? So they don't kill themselves. Why did my mom tell me at 4 years old, don't stick the copper wires in the outlet? That's what she told me. When she saw me playing with those copper wires by the outlet, she said, don't you dare stick those in there. Well, she might as well have said, stick them in. Because I did. And did you know what? I found out she wasn't being mean. She wasn't trying to deny me. She wasn't trying to keep me from having pleasure. She was trying to keep me from killing my fool self. And I learned something. I hadn't done it since. But if I just listened, see, if people just listened to the Word, listened to preaching, they wouldn't have so much pain in their life. Just listen instead of, I got to check it out. We saw a button the other day. I don't know where we were at. Some store we saw a button and saw it was one you shouldn't push. I forget what it was about. Do you remember, hon? I don't know. I just remember us making... Well, I just remember seeing that button and saying, now, we got one grandkid who, as soon as you said, don't touch that, that's what she'd do. I will not name her either. Anyway. Now, go to John. Come on, are y'all getting at least a nugget out of this? I know it's a little different this morning, a little laid back. We're talking about some things. But, you know, we need to know that our minds are not going to stay renewed unless we do something, unless we wash them with the Word of God. That's why so many Christians today are thinking like the world about certain things, but that's because little by little they've accepted things that the Bible doesn't accept. Amen. We got things going on in churches today that wouldn't happen 25, 30 years ago. And nothing's changed in the Bible. But we've not kept our minds washed with the Word. I blame the pulpits for a lot of that. Amen. I'd rather have 5 righteous people than 500 unrighteous people. At least we know we're clean. Amen. Now look at John 13. This is a story about Jesus. And I want to show you something here. And I want to show you it means more than what we just see on the face value of it. And it says in John 13, verse 2, it says, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he went from God and that he came from God and he went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you intend to wash my feet? Jesus answered to him and said, what I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Now let me stop for a minute before we read on. Now, this story has always been used to teach about servanthood. And it is about that, okay? Jesus later on talks about, you know, a servant's not above his master. If I've done this, you're not above me, okay? So it is talking about that. But I want to show you there's a spiritual side to this parable too that you have to look for. You have to be paying attention to see it. But there's something else in here just besides the teaching of servanthood. Because he went on to say in verse 8, Peter said unto him, Lord, you will never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Now, how many know that's more than just a teaching on servanthood? When he says, Peter, if you don't let me wash my feet, you're out of here. No part with me. He's talking about something spiritual. Got it? All right. Verse 9, you know Peter, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, and my hands and my head. Give me a total bath. Jesus said unto him, now listen to this now. Jesus said to him, he that is washed or bathed need not except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit or every bit. You are clean, but notice this, not all of you. What's he saying? Somebody didn't bathe yesterday? Somebody stinks? He's talking about spiritually. How many know that? And it goes on to say, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. I want you to see something there. He's talking about a spiritual principle here. It's not just, it is on servanthood, but it's deeper than that. Because there's more here to that than that. Now, you have to understand the day that they lived in. And the day they lived in, they didn't have the paved streets. They didn't have the concrete sidewalks. They wore sandals. They could take a bath in the morning and get up and walk to the market, and their feet would be dirty. That's why many places in the Bible talk about when they came into a house, they would give them water to wash their feet. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's showing them something by that. See, he's washing their feet. Why? They walked here to this meeting place. Their feet got dirty. And that dust, their feet got dirty. And then Peter, you know, he wants to take it all the way. So, oh, Lord, if that's so, you know, wash it. Give me a whole bath. And he said, you don't need it. You're already clean. See, the spiritual thing about that is that you and I live out, we are clean because we've been born again. We've been cleansed. But walking out in the world, our feet get dirty. And they have to be cleansed. And Jesus said, if you don't let, what did we just read in Ephesians? He's washing the church. He, Jesus, is washing the church with the washing of the water by the word of God. Right. See, he's the one, when we read our Bibles, when we feed on His Word, He's the one that spiritually is washing our minds. Amen. He gets involved. So He can present us a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. So I hope you're seeing this, that it's deeper than just the servanthood thing. He's letting us know that as we walk out in the world, our feet get dirty. We don't get dirty, but our feet get dirty, which means we can interpret this way. Our minds pick stuff up and it has to be washed out so we don't begin to think that way. Just things that the world says can become ingrained in you. Anybody remember? An apple a day. Is there any scientific proof to that? And if there is, how do Eskimos stay healthy? They don't have apple trees. Apples are good. I like apples. I eat apples. Just a little saying of the word, the world. Amen. A little dab. Right? All these little phrases, see, they get in our minds, don't they? I'm trying to think of some other ones that you know, we grew up with over the years. Thank you. Remember, what? Cow gone. Come on, anybody got any other ones? What is it? Flock, oh yeah. Well, what a relief it is. It's just an excuse for gluttony. That's the world's answer for gluttony. Just pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. You follow what I'm saying? I'm having fun here, but we have these little phrases that, you know, and some of them have been around for years. You know, used to the Heinz ketchup one was anticipation. And see, somebody got smart enough to put the ketchup in a plastic squeeze bottle. We just force it out. Oh, I remember the times with the glass bottles, you get the knife and stick it in there trying to get it going and everything else. You remember those? See, all that's funny. None of that's harmful, but there is stuff out there that if we just begin to think that's normal. That's because society accepts it and everybody says it's okay. But God's Word says something different about it. Amen. They'll tell you can expect certain things. You can expect this. You can expect that. You know, I remember, things that just from years ago that when you were just a kid that you heard, you know. Amen. And, they used to tell us when we were kids that if we drank coffee as a kid, it'd stunt our growth. I didn't drink it. I found out that, there's no truth to that. Come on, y'all with me? See, I'm using that just to make a point that there's all, that's just funny stuff, the commercial stuff. We all remember those things and all. But the truth of the matter is there's thoughts, there's ways that the world does things and thinks that's not even in line with the Bible. Not even in line with the Bible. The world teaches you to fear things that the Bible says don't fear. The world teaches you to accept things the Bible says doesn't accept. Amen. And there's so much going on in our society today. We have to keep our minds renewed by the Word of God, or we'll begin to think like the world and think God thinks that way. The old phrase, God helps them that helps themselves. You know, that's not a Bible verse. It says it's not a Bible verse. Nowhere in there. But people believe it because it's been quoted so much as being from God, but it's not. So if you don't keep your mind washed with the Word of God, you know what? You'll begin to think just like the world about things. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it. You know, the world thinks that God doesn't care about natural things, just spiritual things. He created everything. Did you know He said the silver and gold is His? That's what He said. Now, it's in the wrong people's hands sometimes, but He said it's His. He says a lot of things. How many know God has things to say about divine health? Right? Did you know that, and I've talked about this before, but thank God you know, for all the natural help we get, but you better go look at the Bible and see what the Bible says, you know, because man can only go so far. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. People say, well, you know, you can just expect the economy to get bad. You don't have to expect your economy to get bad. My Lord, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been through all kinds of presidents. The good, the bad, the ugly. All of it. Everything you can think of. None of them have affected my life whatsoever. They just haven't. Because why? I'm of the kingdom of God. I'm in a different kingdom. Amen. Now, I want good government. I want good people in office. I want Christians in office, believers in office, or at least people that will fear, at least have some fear of God. They don't have to be born again, but have some fear of God, have some reverence of God. Amen. At least not be opposed to God. Not be opposed to His Word. Not be opposed to His will. Oh my gosh, you're a Christian nationalist. I'm a kingdom of heaven. I'm a believer that everybody on the planet should serve God. I'm a believer that everybody on the planet should obey a God. I'm believing that there is a God and we aren't Him. And I'm believing He's got ways that work and we don't. And any good thing we experience, it's because we somehow did something He said, whether we stumbled across it or we knew what we was doing. Somehow. I'll close with this. I've been rambling. We had a couple, the first church I was at, we had a lady, a man and a wife, that every week would send their tithes to the church. Every week. They didn't come to our church. Matter of fact, they weren't even born again. Aren't even saved. But every week we got a check in the mail from them for their tithe. Their tithe. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go over and talk to this couple because, you know, you might as well get saved. Your money's coming to church, you might as well come with it. The Bible says bring you the tithe into the store. Unless you get in the envelope, get in your vehicle and get over here. And so I went over to see them. And I said, I don't remember exact conversation. It's been a number of years ago, but I remember saying, well, you guys, I asked them, do you know the Lord? Are you born again? No, we're not. We're not born again. We're not saved or whatever, however they said it. We don't go to church. I said, you send your tithes to the church every week. What do you do that? They said, well, we've learned that God's blessing us because we do that. I thought, well, I wish church people would learn that. See, they had somehow stumbled across and thought, well, we're going to do this. Now, I know people say, well, God doesn't bless the sinner. Well, be careful what you say God doesn't do. You might be found wrong. You know. And that couple, now they did eventually give their lives to Jesus. They didn't that day and I was there. But they eventually did. But see, when they were doing that, I'm thinking they're not far from the kingdom of God because they're wanting to do something to please God. But what really pleases Him is get saved. That's what's really going to please Him. Now, He wants you to tithe, but He'd rather have you first. You understand that? And so, you know, so the world, anytime good things happen, it's because somehow or another, some way or another, we obeyed God. No one or not no one, because only His ways work. The world's ways don't work. They bring you into bondage, but His ways work. If you do what He says, how many know it works? Amen. Well, I know this is a little different this morning, but I hope you got something. You need to wash your mind. You say, well, I've been serving God, Pastor, for 40 years. Yeah, well, if you want to keep being successful, keep washing your mind. Keep cleaning your mind. Don't ever think I've arrived. Don't ever think that. It's like Brother Hagin used to say, and you think you've arrived, you're going to wake up, your feet's going to be where your head was. That's about the truth of it. We're still on a journey, amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.